Hey,
Oh, what's up?
this is crazy.
All right, we're recording now.
Okay.
All right, let's. I'll ask you five questions, and you ask me five questions. Okay.
All right.
All right, I'll start first. All right, so what is your main goal with the podcast?
My main goal with the podcast
With the
is to
podcast.
create a living so I don't need to go to work and for white
Who?
people. Fucking white people, man. Tired of working for them.
Same here, man. All right, your question.
I got to ask you a question.
Yeah, you asked me a question. We'll fire back and forth.
Okay.
Anything you want.
Well,
Something
shit.
that'll make me talk, though.
Huh?
Something that'll make me like talk a little bit.
Okay. Oh fuck, man. See, I didn't take notes, man. You got me on spot now.
Me neither. I
Well,
mean, you can ask me the same question back.
okay. Colts, are they
All right.
above or below 500 next season? Why?
Okay. Colts below or above 500 next year.
Yes, your favorite team, Colts.
My favorite team. All right.
Yeah.
So Colts are above 500 if they do one thing. They're below 500 if they do another thing. So they're above 500 to me. They've only made one offseason acquisition.
They're gonna be sorry.
Yeah, they're gonna be sorry. But they could turn around a little bit and at least be 500,
How?
or maybe one game above 500 if they make good draft choices. They traded the third overall pick for the sixth overall pick and 2 second-round picks. So therefore, in the first round and the second round combined, they have four picks. If they focus on offensive line and secondary defense, and with those four picks, they could be 9-7.
Wow, you're really good at thinking optimistically.
I mean, they could be, because I mean, there's been a lot of offensive linemen who've been drafted, especially in the last few years, who in the first year have made impact, but their impact isn't as huge as a quarterback or a running back because I mean, it's the NFL. I mean,
Yeah.
offensive linemen aren't going to get that spotlight,
Yeah,
but
it's sadly.
there are offensive linemen and defensive linemen who have been drafted in the last decade who have came in and made an impact. Maybe not a mainstream impact, but for fans, they have made an impact. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, linemen are such unsung heroes. Like the game would not be the game without them.
Yep, exactly. Dude, I mean, I played linebacker in high school. I played a little bit of defensive line. I mean, that shit is hard. Being on the line is hard, though. That's like fight. Every single snap, people don't realize it's a fight. It's literally a fight. You're pushing, you're shoving, you're basically punching each other in the chest. So I think that if we get the right offensive line acquisitions to keep Luck healthy, which we haven't done in the last 2 or 3 years, and we get the right defense to keep a lead, I mean, to keep the leads down, because teams they come up against, they throw all over. I mean, we haven't had a big defensive player since Bob Sanders, and Bob Sanders wasn't that big of a name. So, I mean, if they can focus on the secondary defense and they can focus on offensive line, I think we could be not a 9-7 team because I think Andrew Luck is a phenomenal quarterback, and I think he's the type of quarterback who can make shit happen if he's healthy with not that great. Offensive with I think he can make shit happen even without a premier running back and a premier wide receiver.
Yeah.
He can make it happen. I think he's that dude. But he has to stay healthy, and it starts with offensive line. So I think offensive line is the main thing, and defense. And they got, like I said, they got four picks in the first two rounds. If they do that, and those guys aren't a bust, we can go 9-7, maybe 10-6, maybe. But I mean, I mean, I know it's a higher percentage for them to go under 500. It's probably like a 70-30 for them to go 500 versus over 500. But I think if we can make the right picks in the front office, we can go 9-7 easily with Andrew Luck. I mean, he's a great quarterback. He's a phenomenal quarterback. He has to stay healthy. And if he doesn't stay healthy, and we don't get the offensive lineman, and we make bad choices, and we try to go skill positions, we're fucked. But I mean, yeah. that's just my take.
Andrew Luck may have just lost. I don't know if I have faith anymore.
I mean, he's
already got hit around as much as Steve Young at the end of his career.
I mean, he's been in the league like what? He's been in the league 6 seasons. His first 3 seasons, he was advancing. In the last 3 seasons, he hasn't been advancing. But there's also been, I think we're in a situation like the Raiders were for a long time after that win. I think it's a personnel thing. It's not a talent thing. I think it's a personnel thing. I mean, remember the Raiders were doing. Weren't doing that great for a long time when they had Al Davis as the head of their personnel. I mean, sadly, I mean, RIP, you know, Al Davis, I love this guy, but he was making flashy moves. He wasn't making the sense. And then once he, I always said, even when Al Davis was alive, I said, you know, I love Al Davis. I love his grit, but once Al Davis passes, I think the Raiders are going to be a great team, because Al Davis likes to live in the past, and he liked the flashy move. And once he passed, you know, they started making a little bit smarter moves, and they started becoming a better team. And that's what they've become. They've become a better team overall. You know what I'm saying? So I think for us, the personnel thing, I think there's some people a little bit higher up who we need to get rid of and replace, and I think there's people in the higher ups in the personnel who don't have the best interest in the Colts, but have the best interest in their pocket. You know what I'm saying? So I think once we fix that, we could be a great team again. But until that happens, I mean, I like to be a positive dude, but I mean, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right.
So now coming back to you, okay. what is your outlook on the Raiders? What do you think about their offseason moves? And what do you think about John Gruden coming back? Do you really think he's gonna make that big of a difference? And if so, how long do you think it's gonna take for him to make? How long do you think it's gonna take for the Raiders to get back to the greatness they were in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s?
So my outlook on the Raiders is like me, it's like trying not to jinx it. I have all these high hopes for these Raiders. They look like they're making all the right moves right now. I feel like they're gonna be really, really good next year, like for sure making playoffs. Like, they're for sure making playoffs, winning first round. Like, that good. But I feel like I said too much and I already jinxed it now. Because at the same time, we're talking the Raiders. And I felt like that many years. Like, and it'd be like, in most of those years, they had really bad seasons. So, like, but, I think they made the right move with Chuck, and I think they're making right moves in the offseason. They got a tackle that we really needed.
Okay.
And they got Jordy Nelson, who can run a real good route.
I think Jordy Nelson still got
one. And I'm not gonna lie, I don't want to sound racist or anything, but I think he'd be a great addition for Derek Carr. Like, just because he's white.
Wait, let me pause right there. You think white quarterbacks work better with white receivers?
No. I just think Derek Carr's a little racist. I think he's a little white privileged.
Derek Carr. I mean,
and he likes it.
But I mean, I think Derek Carr has embraced. I mean, Oakland as a whole. Don't you?
No.
I mean,
there's a lot of controversy last season, which is why we didn't have the season we wanted.
And do you think a lot of that is because, I mean, the route was going, because a lot of people said that Marshawn Lynch was, I mean, a lot of people said that Marshawn Lynch being on the team changed the culture a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You think that Marshawn Lynch changed the culture a lot? And he made it more of an Oakland culture. Do you think that upset Derek Carr?
No, I don't think that's what happened. This is what I think what happened. Remember when everybody was taking knees and everything for like, what was it called again? I don't know. Was it for the police shootings?
It was killing black people. Yeah, it was for the injustice.
Yeah, the Raiders, ever since the Raiders had their day when they tried to do that, there's a big division in the team, I felt. And it was against the people who kneeled in being activists for that cause. And it was against the people of the team who did not kneel. And the thing that was very awkward, that didn't look right or seem right, just in as a fan's eye and watching the game from the beginning, is that, or what I've heard through media at least, is that, I don't think I even saw that, but it was that game where they're saying that all the offensive line took a knee.
Yeah.
And Derek Carr was standing. That's division right there. And that's your line, and that's your QB. And from that point on, and after this season, after that game and everything after that, the Raiders weren't playing like they were, because they started off hot.
Yeah.
They started off hot. They were looking like the team everybody thought they would be, or at least getting there.
Yeah.
And then that game with the division, you divided the team, and people were having second thoughts in their head, like, oh, man, Derek Carr just didn't take a knee, and like we have – two different perspectives, and this is the guy I got to protect, and shit like that. Like, I think that's what fucking ruined the Raiders right there. And I think Jordy Nelson coming over here, it gives him someone to bond with. I think Jordy Nelson is exactly like him.
Yeah.
Kind of a, but he seems like a perfect fit for Derek Carr. That's what I think. And, and we kind of need him on our team because we need him to open up Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think Cooper wants to catch any balls for Derek Carr anymore. As many times he put him out and got his neck all strung out and shit.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't cool. Like, he got him hit a lot of times, and a few other receivers. Like, he puts him in bad spots. No. And I'm not going to lie, that's where a big problem lies in me too, because I had thoughts like Derek Carr's not the guy anymore. And that last season, like, he's not my guy no more. Like, I wouldn't be mad if they brought someone new in, and I wouldn't be even mad. I'm like, I'd be kind of excited, like, oh, let's see what this guy can do. But yeah, that happened on the team, and but bringing Chuck back, he knows, he's been there. He's been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's definitely been there.
And he's done it with, really through coaching, because he's only done it, like, when you look back at his team and who he had when he went to the Super Bowl and beat the Raiders, he didn't have a great, like, QB. There was not a superstar QB, first of all.
Who was it? Brad Johnson.
And it was really good. Defensively sound teams making plays when it counted. And the offense was just like, it was a system, you know? Sometimes you there's a mess up in the system, and it's like it's not we're to a point where it wasn't the defense's great playing, it was the offense's execution that's why they had to go punt the ball. Like, but if you just execute on offense, the play will work. And it's like, and that's how his offense seemed. Like, it wasn't like, oh, hopefully this play works. It's like, as long as everybody does a job, we'll get up the field at least 3 or 4 yards. And I'll take that, because there'll be some plays we'll get 5 or 6, and you know, and that's where the fight comes in. And he kind of leaves it up to his players to bring the player. Like, he puts the right players in open spots. Like, he knows how to use his weapons, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I think Rich Gannon, like, when we had Rich Gannon, he never made a 60-yard pass. Like, at the time I was watching him, I guess, like, it was rare for him to make a 60-yard pass, because everything was short field throws, and we had quick players go around or screens, and people, like, he knows how to use our players, and that's the biggest thing, because we need him to utilize Amari Cooper. We have Amari Cooper, and he has not been used. That's a problem. Like, he's been wasted. It's like, we ruined his career. Come on now. But I think the Raiders got some potential. Like, the only reason why we did all this is so we could get a championship pass. So we're looking for a championship. And I think they're making all the right moves for that championship. I'd like to see a bigger name on defense. In all assets, more in like linebacker and safety. But I feel like we do have the right player at safety. I really like Shalom Luani, but they never gave him a chance for some reason. And linebacker, we need someone to step the fuck up. We got Navarro, though, so maybe he's our guy, but I want someone else just like him right by him. And our D-line's pretty solid, I'm not going to lie. Our D-line's solid. And our offensive line is solid. And that's why our team is good. They're better than most, because those guys, that's where the whole play starts. Those guys are the best ones on our team.
I think, man, you covered a lot.
But, I forgot. Were we recording?
Yeah, we're recording still.
Oh, okay. Let me think of a question for you.
All right. We're just with those, like, two questions each, we're already almost at, like, 20 minutes.
I know, right?
That's pretty good.
It is. What is the image that you want your podcast to show? Like, if you were famous, like, we are already famous off the show, what would our image be like? You know what I mean? Like, how do you want others to view our show? Like, how do you want them to view us as?
I want everybody to view us as, like you said earlier, there's not a lot of young faces in the sports world, in the sports talk world as of current. And I want to I want us to be if you know, when we do go mainstream, I want us to be a forefront for, you know, I mean, what we are. I mean, we're millennials, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want us to be the forefront of intellectual millennial, the intellectual millennial take on current sports from, because I think there's a lot of sports fans our age who are listening to guys who are in their 40s and 50s. And I think we have our own take on sports. We have our own view on sports, and I don't think that's been established enough. So I want us to be the forefront of intellectual millennial take on sports. That's all I want us to be, really. You know what I'm saying? Because I think me and you are both intellectual guys. I think, you know, we both have our I mean, there's things we agree upon, there's things we don't agree upon. But at the same time, I think that when I talk to older guys about sports, you know, they have an older point of view. And I think when I talk to a lot of younger guys, more in my generation, in our generation, they have sort of a similar view, but they have a little bit different takes. I think that as millennials, we're a little more statistical, and I think we're more analytical. And I for some reason I feel like our generation in general has more of a I don't know why, but it feels like our generation as millennials, we have more of a coach, for some reason, have more of a coach's aspect. You know what I'm saying? Even when I talk to you and like we're talking, like when me and you talk about sports, we almost talk as if we were in a coach's position. You know what I'm saying? Don't you feel the same? Like, I feel like our generation, or just me and you in general, and people like us, have more of a coach's aspect. I don't know why, but even when I think about sports, for some reason, I don't put myself in the shoes of the athlete. I put myself in the shoes of the coach, and I don't know why. And I noticed that a lot of people from our generation as millennials do that a lot. We don't put ourselves in the shoes of the athlete like the older generations do. We put ourselves more in the shoes of the coach. And I think that's authentic to us. And I think that's something that's a take and an intellectual take that needs to be heard. And I think it's refreshing. And I think it's something that needs to be out there. And I want us to be the forefront of that. Basically, that's what I want.
Okay. I like that. So
it's my turn now, yeah?
Yeah, that was funny. Right. That's it. So
what is I know you haven't been following the Warriors as much, but what's your current take as we approach the playoff for the Warriors? What's your prediction, and who do you think is the biggest threat to us, East and West?
Just want to say, for copy or not copyright reasons, I don't want to make it seem like this is all me and my thought. Whenever I talk Warriors or Raiders, I go to the two old wise men, and they tell me their views. And the two old wise men said about the Warriors that they're not winning the championship this year. They believe that they will not win a championship this year. That's the two old wise men.
Do they believe that the Warriors will make it to the finals?
Nope. They don't even make it to the finals. I believe that's what they believe. I probably have to ask that question again for the two old wise men, but they don't want them, and they don't see them making it to the finals. And I'm like, what? They're going to win the finals. That's how I'm feeling like. Warriors are so good that they're such team ball that they could go make it to the finals, and they're going to win it no matter what.
Yeah.
But now when I give some thought and they've been losing a lot, like, I'm thinking, well, they're not that team ball like they used to be anymore. It's like, when you think about it, they used to be really team ball. But now there's just way too many egos on the team. Like, it's not team ball no more. Like, people need their averages. Like, and that's how I feel, like, about that. Like, oh, man. These guys are trying to, like, and that's why I don't feel like, if it's not about team and people are just trying to get theirs, it's just like, that's where I get worried about winning. And it's not team ball like it used to be. The ball doesn't move around like it used to. I remember everybody would, like, we had plays like, damn, they look so good together, like, with the Warriors. I just don't see those plays anymore. It's more individual type plays, and where we get awed and wowed from. But I kind of miss those plays where we felt like, wow, we're watching some really fucking good basketball. I'm not saying we're not watching good basketball, but we're watching super talented basketball. Like, these guys are fucking at it. Like, these guys are fucking aliens. They're gods of basketball. That's what we're watching. And there's ain't no problem with that. But, like, even gods could lose to humans if you play the game right. That's how I'm saying. Like, yeah. there's a proper way of playing basketball, and it's about using all five men on the court the right way, and unselfishly, and finessely, fucking winning. But basketball is a true art. You got to be at your true art form to do that. Because I'm talking about Curry, LeBron, Durant, all on one team. And just a regular average Joe is just knowing how to play well with each other. that's still a good game to me, because I don't think all those stars could really play on one team together. If it was the NBA, if it was like a country game, yes, maybe. Like, for the United States, yeah, but they're playing for their country, they don't really care about stats. But on the NBA court, like, you put all those stars on one team, I don't know if they can win against a really good team that plays well with each other. Because, it's just basketball. It just has this way. It's like, if it don't flow right, you're not going to put the ball in the bucket. It's just going to look bad. And then it'll eventually show through 48 or, like, whoever, how long the game is. I can't do math right now. But... Yeah.
No, I hear what you're saying, though.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, it's like, without Durant, points would, like, somehow, like, come to Curry naturally.
Yeah.
And then with Durant, it's just like, Curry has to turn it on. He has to turn it on, like, and sometimes his field goal percentage is kind of taking the damage from that, like, because he has to turn it on at a certain moment in time. But it's a responsibility. You guys still score your points. He's been doing well in it, but I still imagine about how many points Curry could be getting, like, without Durant on the team. Like, I would pair Curry up with a great center. So if he's not... Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I thought my phone died. All right, but I'd pair him up with a great center, just so if he misses, you could just kick it right back to him. And someone who could shoot too, like a center could shoot, or like not shoot, but shoot free throws and get rebounds and dunk. You got to put it back up or kick it back out.
Yeah,
and do that all game. You utilize Curry all game. That's it. Just make sure he has to shoot the ball. And he can shoot anywhere he wants, any way he wants. That's how good he is to me. But now they're just kind of doing too much now. We never really needed Durant.
Good pick.
Yeah, I'm done.
You done?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we got.
But I love Durant, but never really needed him. All
right. We're almost at. We're just about at 30 minutes right now, just with that.
I know, right?
Well, you want to finish that?
Finish what?
You want to end the recording? Or you want to keep going?
Let me ask you one more question.
All right, go for it.
I'm gonna think of a good one though. All right.
All right, go for it.
Give me some time. Talk about something else a little bit. But, we have to talk about something else a little bit so I can think of a good question. I don't know. It's going to pop up, though. But, my son. Mm-hmm. Let me light this up again. Man.
What strain are you smoking on?
It's called Event Horizon. It's weird.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Me neither. But it breaks down well. Smokes pretty good. And smells good. And it's cheap.
How much was it?
$37 plus tax. I mean, $37 with tax.
Damn.
Like, it was $30 eighth, but it, like, came out to $37. Like, fuck. I got, like, a $60 half ounce, and that shit came out to, like, $80 because of fucking taxes. I was like, fuck. What the fuck? What are you doing to me? Fuck, this joint keeps on going out. All right. I don't know. I was not prepared to give you questions. Who is the greatest athlete on earth right now, and why? It's okay if you say me. I won't make fun of you every day. But
the greatest athlete on earth. I mean, I would like to say me.
It's kind of a toss up between me and me, and me on my off day, and me on my good day.
That's how I feel too.
I mean, because sometimes on my off day, I get so mad that I just excel in everything else. Like, I don't know. And then I just naturally get better at what I was being off.
Sometimes anger motivates. Let me see. The greatest athlete on earth right now. Yeah. You know what? I would have to say the greatest overall athlete on earth.
I just asked myself.
To me personally, because I'm kind of partial to the sport, and I think it's the hardest sport out.
You gotta say Mayweather.
No, not Mayweather, but it is a boxer. I'm gonna say Anthony Joshua.
Who the hell is Anthony Joshua?
Anthony Joshua is a heavyweight champion of the world. He owns half of the belts. And then there's an American named Deontay Wilder who owns the other half. So there's two heavyweight champs as of current. Look up Anthony Joshua. Look up his training. Look up his just... I mean, the dude is not just a boxer, and he doesn't even really consider himself a boxer. He considers himself an athlete because he's not the most technical boxer,
mm-hmm.
but the dude puts in work. He's strong as hell. He's big as hell. He's fast as hell. This guy is a boxer, and he literally he trains and sprints with Olympic sprinters, and he keeps up with them. And he's a heavyweight. He weighs like 260, and he's like 6'7", and he can keep up with dudes half his size. I mean, phenomenal athlete, phenomenal just overall athletic specimen. Also, I mean, honorable mentions would have to be, of course, LeBron James. I mean, the dude's put in time. He's put in a lot of minutes, and for as much as wear and tear as he should have on his body, he's still producing.
That's true. Okay.
I mean, when he's in the finals against the Warriors, I hate him to death, but I can't knock him as an athlete. He's phenomenal. He's something otherworldly. Also, another good honorable mention would be James Harrison. The dude's over 40, and he's pushing weight, and he trains hard every day. And he's just, as an athlete overall, he's just phenomenal, man. But I have to say number one athlete on the planet is 6'7", 260-pound heavyweight champion of the world, Anthony Joshua, putting in work every day, training with the top Olympic athletes of the world and keeping up, if not beating them. I mean, that's just, that's insane, man. That dude to me is top notch all around.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna fire that question back at you. Who is your best athlete, or who do you think is the number one athlete in the world besides yourself? You can't choose yourself.
Okay. I come second to this person. No, I don't know actually. Greatest athlete now alive?
Alive, yeah.
I would have to say it is, I don't even know right now. I didn't even think about it myself. It's funny I asked that question. Well, I'm not gonna lie.
Who's an athlete that you watch and you're like, you're pretty impressed? Just not even the best athlete you think is in the world. Like, who is somebody that you see and you're like, you've seen them train, you've seen them do what they do on the field or court or whatever, and you're like, damn, it's impressive. Who impressed?
I don't know. This might be have to be a to-be-continued type of question. I'm going to have to start looking at people who how they work out and stuff. I don't know. I just know that Herschel Walker is probably one of my favorite athletes ever. Like,
ever?
I've heard he did 1,000 push-ups, 1,000 dips, and 1,000 pull-ups a day with 1,000 squats and 1,000 lunges and the fucking 1,000 sit-ups or more or something. I don't know. Like, this guy was fucking built like an ox.
Real talk.
And you never heard the story how he ripped a door off a car and saved someone's life?
The dude is.
That's how strong he was. Like, he's literally like a superhero in pads.
50 plus. In big time MMA matches.
Are you going in and out? I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. The dude was, Herschel Walker was over 50 winning MMA matches.
When he what?
He was over 50 winning MMA matches.
Oh, in MMA matches? That's right.
Remember?
Yeah.
He went into MMA.
And he did that. He did that too.
He fought like 6 fights and won them all.
Yep.
Over 50. Dude, that guy's a legend, no matter what, hands down.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson is another one. Dude.
I wonder who he fought. Like, why did he fight?
I mean, it's just what.
These guys must have been guys he, like, bumped into at the bar or something.
Oh, dude, they were real MMA fighters. And some of them were contenders. And he beat them all. I think he retired undefeated. He retired undefeated like 9-0 or some shit like that.
I'm so happy I picked Herschel Walker.
Yeah. Honestly,
that's
my dad's favorite athlete too. That's a good athlete. I know all about Herschel Walker because of my dad. The top two athletes for my dad in particular is Herschel Walker and Andre the Giant. So I know a lot about those dudes. Herschel Walker has done some amazing things. You know who else is pretty good who I didn't mention? Is Ray Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Lewis, as a kid, used to get a 52 in a card deck. There's 52 cards. He used to get the card deck, and then he'd flip it, and he would do, like, say he flipped the card, and it was a king. He would do 10 push-ups. Then the next card he flipped was a queen. He drew 10 setup. And then he flipped the next card. It was a 7. 7 push-ups. Flipped the next card. It's a 3. 3 push-ups. And he'd do that for all, for 52 cards, going back and forth between push-ups and sit-ups. He'd do that every night as like a 7-year-old kid.
Damn.
You know the, and he did that all through high school, all through middle school, all through elementary school. He started that when he was a small child. He'd get the, right before he'd go to bed, he'd grab the 52-card deck and he'd flip it. And whatever he got, if it was a face card, he'd do 10. If it was a number card, he'd just do the number. And he'd do that, push-up, sit-up, push-up, sit-up, push-up, sit-up, back and forth until he finished 52, all 52 cards, and then he'd go to sleep every night. That's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 41 minutes.
Damn.
41 minutes. Let me ask like 4 questions each.
No, I didn't even ask you a 4th question.
All right, go for it.
What? What was that first question you asked me?
Oh, the first question I asked you was about the podcast. Like, what do you want from this podcast?
Yeah, what do you want from this podcast?
I told you, you asked.
Huh?
Well, what I want from the podcast in particular, actually, you didn't ask that question. You asked, what would we do if we were famous? What would you want our listeners?
Yeah, what would your image be?
Yeah, you asked the image question. But what I want from the podcast is, I want us to be a credible, fun podcast for Bay Area and all sports fans in particular. Mostly Bay Area fans. And my overall goal is to hopefully go mainstream. Hopefully we get noticed. That's my end goal. I mean, if we only set the bar so high, and that's as far as we're going to make it. So we might as well set it super high. And I mean, I think we can go mainstream. I want us to go mainstream. That's what I want. So that's the end goal. The end goal is to go mainstream and hopefully get noticed by a big, big company and get, you know, not so much sell out, but get paid. You know what I mean? How nice would it be for us to get paid just to talk about sports all day? You know what I'm saying? And then one day look back at this recording and be like, damn, this is where it all started. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, right?
That'd be cool as fuck. Like,
hell yeah.
This is where it all started. This was our end goal. And then be able to sit back and listen to this recording and be like, damn, both of our end goals was to make it big time. And we did. We achieved our goals. And I think we can. I don't doubt us. I don't doubt me. I don't doubt you. So I think we can do it.
Yes, we can.
We haven't even started to put the effort. Once we start to put the effort, it's game over for everybody else.
I think, for real, though.
Honestly, I think me and you as people are unique. And I think we're positive people. I think we're smart people. I think we can bring something to the table that nobody else can, really. And
yeah.
In our generation, there's not many people like us. You know, I think we have no other choice but to get noticed. And I think that's what's going to happen. So that's my end goal for the podcast, is to get paid to do what we do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically smoke weed and talk shit.
Hell yeah.
That would be the ultimate.
Right on, brother. Right on. Oh, yeah. Cue the Hulk noise. I mean, not the Hulk. I mean Hulk Hogan noise, huh? I've been smoking.
Yep.
Still smoking the same old joint. Keep on going out on me. Motherfucking ass joint. It's like, save me. Save me for later. All right. I hear you, joint.
You need a torch.
Huh?
You need a torch to keep it lit.
For real, man. I need a freaking miracle. Shit. It's all good. I'm going to save it for later before I go to bed.
All right. We're at 45 minutes. You want to stop it now?
We only need one more question.
Okay, go for it. All right, my turn?
It's on you.
Let me make the last one.
I don't think my guess one's going to be a good one. I'll probably copy yours, honestly.
What should
cue Jeopardy music?
What should our fans know about JP?
They should know that I unintentionally may hurt some people's feelings. I am sorry. I try to be a very nice and good person. And all I'm trying to do is talk about sports because I like sports. And I'll also beat you in them if you want to challenge me. All right. That's it. What would you want everyone to know about you, Mr. Chuck?
That for the most part, I'm just like you, and I'm just like you, and I just want to be a voice. I've always felt like I could be that, and That's pretty much just what I want to do. I just want to be a voice for people. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a man of the people. I'm no different than you. And I'm just a guy who likes sports, pretty much. That's about it, man. That's pretty much about it.
Good point. I should remember that, too. I should take advantage of my stage and be a voice to the people as well. That's my damn Instagram name, by the way.
You're pal to the people.
Yeah. Add me.
Damn, that's already a fucking a shout out to social media.
Yeah. I'm giving this much thought. No, just kidding. This is all going happening as it goes. Holy shit, I thought it was daytime outside. I'm tripping ball sacks.
Follow JP on POW to the people. POW number 2, DAPO or POPLE on IG.
Hey, it's hella cool spelling, people. You can make a good song out of that. POPLE.
POW. Letter 2, or number 2, DAPEOPLE.
OP.
At IG. That's how we could end everything. We could give your personal Instagram. I'll make a personal Instagram. And then.
You need a Twitter. That's what you need.
Yeah, we need a Twitter. Because that's where it's at, really. Because people just want. Tweet. People just really. Tweet. Tweet. Want to hear us say crazy shit on Twitter, honestly. That's what everybody looks for. And then we say something crazy on Twitter, and then somebody retweets it, and then somebody snapshots it, and then they put it on IG, and then that's it.
Internet famous.
Internet famous, man. But we're not trying to be internet famous. We're just we're just trying to be a voice for our.
But that is a good start.
That is a good start. At the end of the day, like I said, we just want to be a voice for our generation in sports. There's nobody leading the way in the millennial generation in sports. And as much as with all the social media out there, you would think there would be, but there's not. It's just a bunch of dudes in their 40s with their hot take, with seen through their eyes of their generation. But there's nobody with eyes through our generation appealing to our generation, which our generation and the generation after us is really the generation that really drives social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, our generation drives social media. Right? Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Our generation, like, we've seen before social media, and we know social media. Generation that's actually speaking and everybody's listening to the generation that I feel like is barely at speed. You know what I mean? Like Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is like almost 60. Like, I mean, I'm sure he probably has somebody who runs his social media. He probably don't even run it personally. You know what I'm saying? Half these folks probably don't even run their own social media. And they're 2-3 generations behind us. We need a voice for our generation, and I think we're that voice.
Yeah.
And I think as we live in the Bay Area, it's a perfect place to showcase that, because I think people are open to it.
Hmm.
At the end of the day, I think we're those dudes. We're that dude.
To that.
Damn, we almost got an hour worth of fucking recording. Hell yeah.
Damn. Is this going to show up on my page too, or your page?
Okay. When you go onto your page, it says my name and your name, right?
I don't know. I haven't really went on it yet.
Okay, go on it.
I do know. I just hopped on this 2K. All right. Hold on. What am I doing again? Oh, yeah. I have a short-term memory. Oh, yeah. It says we're recording.
At 52 minutes, right?
But it says your name with a check mark. It says connected.
And then at the bottom, does it say finish recording?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. We're gonna hit it at the same time.
What if I don't hit it at the same time? Will I be still recording?
No, I think once I hit it or you hit it, it's done.
Really?
Yeah, but if you hit finish recording, you'll have a copy and I'll have a copy.
Okay. Yeah, but let's do it. Let's pick a number, like at the 25th second we both hit it or something.
Okay. All right, when it hits 25, we'll go, okay? What are you at right now?
All
right.
15? Okay.
Where are you at?
18.
19, 20, 21, 22. 23, here we go. 24, 25.